Hymn. That is a tremendous hymn. I like those words. All the words are great, but I love it when it says in the third verse, "My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more." Amen. Bear it no more. We're forgiven. Amen. Amen. Hey, praise the Lord. That was Horatio Spafford that wrote that, and he went through some terrible tragedy with a couple daughters, I believe, that I think
he
it was.
Wrote that as a ship.
Yeah, it was going across the Atlantic.
Place where his that's right. Was killed in a shipwreck.
Yeah, his wife survived, but his daughters passed away. Yes, and as Brother Stan said, as he was going back, they went as close to where that ship went down, and God gave him that hymn. And in the midst of tragedy, what a great blessing came forth just with that song. Amen. Yeah. All right, let's go ahead. We'll take our Bibles, and I want us to go to the book of Mark, in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. As I said earlier, what a great day we've had today. Just a real blessing this morning. Good crowd, a lot of visitors, and just a great, great time of fellowship. It's always good to be with God's people, and it's great to be able to sing unto the Lord and, again, have that fellowship that we have. The specials were tremendous, the offertory, what we heard, it was great. And then, Brother Jordan brought a great, great message. And then the baptisms is, that's like whipped cream, right? A cherry on top. The baptisms are just great. So, I mentioned I'm just going to bring this message tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest missionary. The greatest missionary. You know, we're looking at in just a few weeks, well, really a week and a half, we're going to be having our missions conference. I'm really excited about that. I'm stoked about that. And I believe God's going to do some great things in our midst. He's been doing that the last, every time we've had a missions conference, but especially these last several years, it's just been great watching, the response in the missions conference, the fellowship we've had, the spirit that's in the mission, that's in the conference has been great. And then the response, just the faith promise has just been growing. And I hope it's the Lord's will that it'll continue to go that direction. And so I believe that the Lord wants me to put an emphasis on that now. And so so that our hearts and minds will be heading in the right direction because we're getting so close to it. And I want us to be praying about it, about, again, what God would have us to do, what he would have you to do. Again, when it comes to faith promise, that's done anonymously. You'll see those cards. Most of you are familiar with those cards. If you're not, you'll be able to see them next week, and you can take some with you and just be praying about it. If God doesn't lead you to do it, to be a part of it, that's not a problem. As long as you just do what the Lord wants you to do, that's the bottom line. Amen? And so now we're going to look at God's Word tonight, and you can't help but see missions really throughout this whole book. You can't help but see missions in this whole Bible. God himself has always been on a mission to reach fallen man. He has always been seeking after man to bring him back into fellowship with him, and we will see that this evening in an incredible way. And so we're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ as the greatest missionary. So I want to speak about this. Really, it's pretty much an incredible story here, and it's about a man that we know really very little about, hardly anything, until we read the story. Then we learn some things about him, but hardly very much. And the whole story maybe goes for maybe a few hours that the Lord's there with this man, and then you hear nothing about him again. And again, what's so amazing is how this man is described at the beginning of this story, which actually took place. This was not a parable, but what took place at the beginning of the story and how he appears at the end of the story is different from night and day. It's just incredible. So let's go ahead. We'll read a couple of verses in here in Mark chapter 5. I'll read a couple verses and we'll have some prayer. It says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs," all right, out of the cemetery, out of the tombs, "a man with an unclean spirit." And so with that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to be a part of the Lord's day, of your day, Sunday. What a great day it is to be in church. And Lord, we thank you for the day that we've had so far. We've had a great morning and a great morning service. And We thank you, Lord, again for the fellowship we've been able to have. Thank you again for the opportunity that we can worship you in song. Thank you for the things that we heard today. Thank you for those baptisms. What a great, great blessing. And so we thank you, Lord, as we finish off the night. We thank you that we can gather again together. And we would ask, Lord, that you'd bless and speak to our hearts. Lord, we look at how you loved us. You came to this earth and you gave yourself. You died on a cross for our sins. And you were buried and rose again. And now for those of us that are here, and I hope it's every one of us and that are here tonight that know you as our Savior, you came looking after us. You came seeking after us. We were sheep that had gone astray. We were lost. And you found us. And we thank you, Lord, that you loved us. We love you because you first loved us. And so, Lord, we thank you tonight. We pray that with the missions conference just shortly, just 10 days away, we would ask, Lord, that you'd bless tonight and help us to be thinking along those lines. We're looking forward on bringing some more missionaries on board. But even beyond that, we would like to even bring some more than that. And we pray, Father, that you'll allow us to be able to do it. Help us to be able to help missionaries that have particular needs as we've been able to do in the past. And so I pray that each and every one of us will be inclined, that we will have ears to hear, that we'll listen to what you would prompt us to do. And I know that you have a will for every one of us. Help us to know that and help us to step out by faith. It's not always going to be an easy thing. Sometimes it's going to be a sacrifice. It would be money that we could probably use, no doubt, especially with the economy the way it's gone. But Lord, if we just trust you, you'll take care of us. I see you do that all the time. And I just pray that you'd help us to do the right thing. So we pray, Father, that you'd just give us a heart for missions. Thank you for this account here, this story in the Bible. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen. So you have the Lord Jesus Christ. He bids his disciples to go across the Sea of Galilee. And they come to the country of the Gadarenes. This man is we call him the maniac of Gadara. And he comes, and we read about him as this crazy meeting takes place. As soon as the Lord comes off of that little ship or that little boat with the disciples, this man comes out of the tombs. This man is quite an individual, all right? This one certainly would strike fear in the hearts. He certainly had done that to the people in that area. They could hear him out in the tombs, night and day, screaming and yelling. And many of them probably knew this man. Maybe this man was a young teenager in that area. And here he was now relegated to the tombs. And they knew, maybe a lot of them knew him. And they're like, oh, there he is again. Oh, man, the blood-curdling screams. Can you just imagine that? So today I want to look at a few things about this man. I'd like to look at a few truths about the man and his situation. So this first truth that I see about this man is that he was a man that had gone bad. He was a man that had gone bad. Now we don't know how that came about because as I talked to you about it in my introduction, we don't know hardly anything about this man. Going into this story and reading it, we don't know anything about him. And the only things that we know are what we've read or what we read in this account. So we don't know what his upbringing was like, but we do know that it produced this bad man. And let's look at what the Bible says about him here in verses 3 and 4. It says that he came out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, at the end of verse 2, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Wow, what a crazy story when you think about this was a wild man. This was a man who had supernatural strength. He was filled with demons, with devils. And nobody wanted to be around this guy. Again, who knows what he was like growing up. But at some point, this man went awfully bad. And he was an awfully scary individual to confront. And I'm sure there were a lot of moms and a lot of dads that told their kids, if you're going to go over Billy's house, you don't go by the way of the cemetery. All right? you don't want to go that way. And after a while, I mean, the kids knew, and I'm sure there were some kids that probably dared each other, and I dare you to run around, you know, I dare you to do that. Well, if they did, that was the last time that they did that. But this man was unique in a horrible sort of way. Now, we all have our scary stories, don't we? You know, we have things that, you know, we can go back and reminisce about. I remember we lived on Telegraph Road, and just a couple of streets to the north of us, off of Jersey Road, was a street called Claymore. And on the corner of Claymore was a house that it just looked like it was uninhabited, but there was an old lady there. And always, it always seemed to be around Halloween when we would go trick-or-treating that, you know, we would dare our friends, I dare you to go up to that door. You don't know about this lady, you know. And we hardly ever saw the lady, but once in a while we'd see her figure, you know, in the window. And you know, we always made those threats. I'm sure you had some of those stories. Well, this is a story that's way beyond that. You know, that's always mostly imagination, and we always like to get a kick out of all of that. But you read about this man and what he did with those chains that he was chained about. He plucked them, and they were broken in pieces, it says. These fetters were broken in pieces. It says, if you read in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28, about this same account, it says that he was exceeding fierce so that no man might pass that way. Well, I guess not. I mean, do you think that you would like to pass that way? No, nope. You and I would not want to pass that way. So I want to bring up a truth to you right out of the Bible. And even though I don't see any raving lunatics here in the auditorium here tonight, God's word tells us that every one of us has gone bad. Every one of us has gone bad. We might look at somebody like that and say, well, that guy's just gone completely bad. That guy is a man that's on his way to hell. But you know what? Every one of us has gone bad. Every one of us, we strayed away from God. Ever since man fell back in the garden when he sinned against God, sin has been passed from generation to generation. And there's not a one of us who has not been left untouched. It touched every one of us. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, there is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We've all sinned. And folks, we've all gone bad. The Bible makes that so clear. So we see a man who has definitely gone bad, but let it be known before any of us came to the Lord Jesus Christ, we were all men and women that had gone bad. And then secondly, I want to talk to you about, not only was he a man gone bad, but secondly, he was a man sought after. He was a man sought after. Now, I'd like to state something quite incredible that went on here, and that is that the Lord Jesus was in a town called Capernaum on the north on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee, in a city or a town called Capernaum. And when he was done there, he told his disciples that they were going to cross the sea. In verse 35 of chapter 4, so just before here, before this chapter, in verse 35, it says, And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Let's go over unto the other side. And they were used to that. They'd gone back and forth over that sea many times. Many of them were fishermen. So they headed over the sea, the Sea of Galilee, and Lake Gennesaret is another name that it's called by. And then verse 1, we'll read it again in chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ sets out on purpose. All right, he knows what he's going to do. Men, let's get in the boat. Let's go ahead and cross over the sea. And we're going to head over into the land of the Gadarenes. And he goes on purpose to look for this very bad man. It reminds me of the story of when he said about going through Samaria. He said, the Son of Man must needs go through Samaria. And the Jews wondered in John chapter 4, why does he want to go through Samaria? We Jews don't go through Samaria. We have nothing to do with the Samaritans. But the Lord knew he was going to meet a woman at a well. and that woman would put her trust in him, and that woman's life would be changed. And so the Lord Jesus has his eyes on somebody, and he's telling the disciples, let's get in the boat and let's head over that direction. Now, listen, he is heading toward, when the disciples get off that boat and they look and they say, is this why he came here, that raving lunatic? Maybe that man went across their minds. You know, I'm not the kind of person that likes to go looking for trouble or for bad things. How many of you like to just go looking for bad things? No, we got any storm chasers in here? Probably not, all right? That's really a small percentage. I try to stay away from trouble. I don't like bad things. But the Lord Jesus Christ had a different mindset. The Lord Jesus Christ was looking for this bad man. And I'm thankful that God does not look at things the same way that we do. I'm glad he didn't look at that and say, I don't want to have anything to do with that man. He hates the things of God. No, Romans chapter 6 says this, that in due time Christ died for the ungodly. In due time Christ died for the ungodly. And it also says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the Lord loves to go after sinners. The Lord saw something that day in regard to this pitiful man. And that maybe it was somebody. It doesn't say in any of the narratives, in any of the passages from any of the Gospels that we read this story, of why he went after that man, why he went that direction. But maybe it was somebody that was praying for him. So often the Lord listened to somebody who prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, please come and heal my daughter. She's at the point of death. And Jairus did that. And then the nobleman did that for his son. And the Lord followed and did something great in their lives. Now, we don't read that, but it might have been. Isn't it good to have people praying for you? It's a great thing. The Lord, you know, somebody said something recently about, this and this hadn't happened in our life. I said, it's probably because you have parents that are praying for you. All right, I said it to a young man. It's probably good that you have parents praying for you, because maybe that's why that all happened. Listen, God listens to a mom's prayers. I mean, a mom and dad's prayer, certainly, but there's something about a mama's prayer for her wayward son. And a wayward son just can't get away from his mama's prayers. And this is, let me say this to moms and dads, to every one of you, don't stop praying for somebody just because you might think that they're hopeless, that there's just no reason, there's just no way that they would come to Christ. No, just give it to the Lord. Say, Lord, you know my heart. I don't have much faith here, but you can do great things. Please forgive me for my lack of faith. But just let me encourage you to just keep praying for those that, boy, seem the least likely. And so there's someone here. Listen, there's someone here maybe in our midst today who's just been crying out for something. Maybe you're crying out for something in particular, and you just wonder if that's even going to get to God's ears. Don't stop praying. Whatever it might be, don't stop praying. Psalm 50 and verse 15 says that call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. The Lord says in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The Lord loves to show himself strong on our behalf, folks. He loves to show how mighty he is, how powerful he is. Someone wrote this, a man of Gadara, so ruined by sin, was living on borrowed time. But someone was coming and looking for him, one with a message, sweet message, sublime. And what was that message? Well, it's the same message that Paul and Silas gave to the jailer at Philippi. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know, me and myself, we might have that opportunity to bump into somebody who is far away from the things of God, and we might have that opportunity to give them a track or to engage conversation. And God can use our small little witness to really get a hold of somebody's heart and turn them to Christ. We've heard over and over, and we heard it today, about being a faithful witness, about telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we be faithful to do that, because you and I just don't know who we're talking to. We don't know if we're talking to somebody who's about ready to end it all. You know, we had a young man come on the property here, and he just had to get away. He was from across the street. I'm praying for him that he'll come back. Brother Tony had an opportunity to talk to him and to try to encourage the young man. The young man went home, but just keep praying for this young man. God knows who he is. And God will work in his heart. Well, let me bring up this third thing, this last thing about this man. We talked about a man gone bad, a man that had gone bad, and a man that was sought after. And now we take a look at a man rescued. A man rescued. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has come onto the scene here, quite the scene, by the way, as we've seen, an eerie cemetery not far off the lake, and this maniac of a man comes immediately before the Lord in great fearfulness. He's in great fearfulness because the demons inside him are afraid that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to take them and cast them into hell. So he comes in great fearfulness, and they just feel as if they're going to be punished for their, and he as well, for his despicable life. And verses 6 and 7, it says, "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him." Well, to a good degree, he was controlled by those demons in his life, but there was a part of him that he was in full control, and he looked at the Lord and said, "I need to go and worship the Lord. I need to fall at his feet." He took a step toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, that's always the best direction to go. It's always the best direction to go to the Lord. When you're going through something and you're troubled and you're overwhelmed, listen, there's nothing wrong with confiding in your spouse. There's nothing wrong with talking to a good friend. There's nothing wrong with calling your pastor. Those are all good things. Especially somebody that's going to point you to the Lord. But none of that is a substitute for going to the Lord himself. Let me encourage you, just go to the Lord as often as you can. Nothing wrong with going to people. Nothing wrong with confiding in them. Nothing wrong with telling them what you're going through. But let me say, the best thing that you can do is just fall at the Lord Jesus' feet. And just seek him and trust him. And you watch what the Lord will do. And so it says that he ran, he worships him, and it says, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And that's that demonic spirit inside of him that's now talking here in verse 7. But amazingly, the Lord did not come to cast judgment upon this man, but rather to cast out those devils that had tormented him for so long, and then to save that man's soul. That's what the Lord was interested in. If you take a quick look, and we'll come back to Mark chapter 5, but in John chapter 3, when the Lord is speaking to Nicodemus, in John chapter 3, and we know this verse by heart, but I'm going to read verses 16 all the way through verse 19, verses 16 through 19 out of John chapter 3, and it says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So he's reading, or not reading, but he's saying this to Nicodemus. And then he says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And then he says in verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." You know, every one of us were condemned until we came to trust Christ as our Savior. And it says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." The Lord came into this world to save sinners. That doesn't mean that one day he won't judge, because he will one day. But right now the Lord is wanting people to be saved. And the Lord did not come to condemn this man, but he wanted to see this man saved. Who would have ever thought that this man would have any hope of being salvaged? You know, just people that knew him, people that remembered his upbringing, people that saw him now out in the tombs, they had to have looked at that man and said, "Oh, boy, Lord, just take that man. That man's worthless. That man's just a threat to society." You know, people were thinking that if they didn't voice it. He seemed so hopeless, and he was so defiled and so given up to the devil, and yet it was not too much for the Lord to do it. Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear." You know, in Psalm 78, I know it's in verse 41, it says that the Lord was grieved because Israel, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not getting it word for word, but they had limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited him. They took him from the Almighty God and reduced him down to a God that could maybe do this or that, if even that. How often have we done that? How often have I done that? I know I've done that. I know because of my lack of faith, I have reduced God to being a small God rather than the great God that he is. And that's just something, again, that we need to just go before the Lord and say, "Lord, forgive me, because I know I've done that to you far too often. I have reduced you down to a small God. I have limited the Holy One of Israel." And that's what these folks no doubt have done as well. They looked at this man and they thought, he's just hopeless. There's just nothing that can be done for him. You know, in Mark chapter 5, as you continue the rest of that story, there was the woman that had the issue of blood. And then there was Jairus with her little daughter at the point of death. And you know, that whole story, and this man, of course, at the beginning of chapter 5, but that whole story with that man, this man of Gadara, and then the woman with her issues, and then the little girl that the Lord raises back to life, that there's hope for everyone, because all of those situations were basically hopeless. I mean, the woman, she had gone to a whole lot of physicians about this issue of blood, and they couldn't do anything, and you know, it says that she was nothing better. She spent all her money on the physicians and nothing was done for her. Jairus' daughter was at the point of death. When he goes and gets the Lord and the Lord begins to come back, the Lord is interrupted in a good way by this woman with the issue of blood. So the Lord stops and ministers to her. And I'm sure Jairus is thinking, "Oh, Lord, you got to hurry. My daughter, she's at the point of death. You don't have time to work with this woman." And so now as they get done with her and they begin to head to Jairus' house, there are those that come out of the house. They see Jairus coming with the Lord. And they said, "Trouble not the master any further. Thy daughter is dead." And I'm sure Jairus at the moment went, "We're too late." And the Lord Jesus said to Jairus, I'm sure he put his arm around his shoulder and said, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he went into the home and he raised that little girl back to life again. And so all of those were hopeless, and this man was certainly hopeless. So we have things in our life that we deem as hopeless. And it's just good for us to confess that before the Lord and say, "Forgive me, Lord, because with you, all things are possible. Amen. And if it be your will, you can do anything. You can do whatever you want to do." And so may we go with that. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9 says that the Lord likes to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. So now let's take a look at verses 8, and we'll go all the way through verse 15 here. In verse 8 it says, "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion." So he's speaking to this demonic spirit. "My name is Legion, for we are many." We're not just one in here. We're a whole bunch. That's why this man has gotten to the point where he is, because there are a whole lot of us in here. "And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country." He's saying, please, the demons are saying, don't send us away. You know where they didn't want to go. They didn't want to be cast into hell. That's why they were afraid of being tormented, as we read about in verse 7. Now listen, there was, in verse 11, there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. So all of this comes into play now. This man is before the Lord. The Lord is speaking to this demonic spirit who says, "We are many. My name is Legion." And right off to the side over here, not too far, maybe like right where that field is at, is probably a penned off area where there were 2,000 swine feeding. And on the other side of that was an embankment that went right down into the sea. So they didn't need a back fence, all right? Those swine knew to stay away from that part. And they were penned in there. So it says that there in that verse, there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, please send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith, Jesus says, okay, I mean, you think the Lord is going to cooperate with these devils? Well, there's something that we're going to see in this, which is another part of this story. We won't go too far down the road because I want to hit the main point, but we're going to see something open up with this here. The Lord actually cooperates with this devil, with this devil named Legion, and he says, okay, and forthwith, Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out, and they entered into the swine. Just picture that, this field, these swine that are all penned in, and these demons are allowed to go into the swine, out of the man and into the swine. And it says, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. So picture that. The demons are let out of the man, and the demons go right into the herd of swine, and the swine being 2,000, they're just violently, they're just convulsive. I don't know what that looked like when a bunch of swine has a bunch of demons entered into them, but they just went crazy and ran violently down the steep place and went right crashing down into the sea. What a crazy picture we're looking at here. And then it says here in verse 14, and they that fed the swine told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. So they come out and they look at this and they have to be thinking, is this the same guy that's been living out in the cemetery? Is this him? Because he's sitting and in his right mind and he's clothed. And yet, whatever emotions they were feeling at the time, like, wow, look what happened to him. It didn't last very long. It was very, very short-lived. Because we look at verses 16 and 17, and something else opens up here. And I'll go down this road for just a little bit and make a few comments. But in verses 16 and 17, and it says this, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him, to pray the Lord, right? To entreat him, to beg him. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. So you're thinking, what just happened here? Well, you've got this crazy response of these town people. Of course, it was they were the ones that were feeding the swine. Okay, so put this together. Verse 14 says, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. There's no doubt there's some big co-op going here with all that swine being fed. And there's a lot of people that are, you know, that are all partners in this business, all right? This is a business venture going on here. So this man that goes, he was one that fed the swine. He goes into the city and into the country saying what has happened. Well, he's telling all of his, you know, all of those who have stock in the swine. That's who's going to respond here. And they respond, and they come out, they see him that had been, they saw him in verse 15. They come, they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. What just happened? But then they also realize all of our swine is gone. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil. Those that were there said, this is how it all played out. This is what happened. This Jesus, he had this dialogue back and forth with old crazy Joe. And this all took place. And then the devils were cast out and they went into the swine. And the swine went off of the cliff. And it says they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Now listen, their money-making business had ended up going belly up, right? Literally in the sea. And you know what? That's nothing new out in the mission field. I'll just say this. There's a lot that takes place out in the mission field. Brother Jason, Emily, and others that have been out on the mission field, listen, people, the collateral or the people around those who get saved are not always rejoicing about somebody getting saved. You go into a country that is 98% Catholic and you come in with the gospel, you're going to get some opposition because they don't like your message. They don't like your message about the Lord Jesus Christ. So you come into a place where there's a lot of Buddhism or Hinduism and people get saved and they get baptized. And there are people in those families that just treat them like they're dead anymore because they've come to trust Christ. There's just a lot of hatred toward the gospel. So this is something that, well, I think just seeing what we see here is what you see on the mission field. So now, let's just fast forward past all of this drama that takes place when people don't have an interest in the things of God. But let's take a look at what pleases the Lord and anyone who loves the Lord. Take a look at verses 18 through 20, because this was a man being rescued. It says in verse 18, "And when he was come into the ship," this is the Lord Jesus, "he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him, begged him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." What a great change took place, all because of the efforts of our great Savior. The Lord Jesus said, there's somebody that I need to go talk to. There's somebody that I need to encounter. There's somebody that I need to interact with. There's somebody that needs me in their life. And the Lord did that with every one of us. The Lord does that on a mission field. The Lord did that. He's doing that in mission fields all around the world. And we have an opportunity, folks. Maybe there's some of you that might possibly be called to go to a mission field. Maybe God's beginning to do something in your heart about going somewhere. Just trust the Lord and say, Lord, what is it that you'd have me to do? The best thing I can do is just follow your will. But probably for the most part, that's not our calling. Maybe it's just to be a part of what the Lord can do in mission fields all around this world. What we can do as far as raising more faith promise money, pledges, so that we can be able to support more missionaries and get the gospel more and more around this world, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And if you and I have an opportunity to do it, I just want to challenge you tonight. I'm not going to be here to twist your arm. I'm just saying that you have an opportunity to be used by the Lord to be a blessing, to help some missionaries take the gospel into places that are not always friendly to the gospel, places where people have more greed about their money and their businesses than they do about a gospel coming in to their area. But you know what's most important is what's most important to God, and that is that His Son gave His life for every person that has ever lived in this life. And so we have an opportunity, folks, to send the Lord Jesus through missionaries that we support. So here we are, just a week and a half away from a missions conference. Again, it's an exciting time. I encourage you to be here as much as you can, from stem to stern, if possible, every night and in the morning for the men on Saturday morning and then all day Sunday. And just be praying before you get to the conference, before these next 10 days has gone by, be praying and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And He may challenge you to do something. He may challenge you to do something that may not be easy. Usually He does that. He puts us at a point where we reach into our wallet and we take that and put it in an envelope from week to week, or we write out a check, or however we make that payment, and we go, yes, and I've made that commitment for the missions conference. I've made that faith promise commitment. And you know what? I kind of could use that. It could be used for this that I really want. I could be saving for that I really need down the road, but the Lord would tell me to give it. I'm not saying, I don't even know what the amount would be. We all vary in how much we bring in our income, but the Lord may put you at a place where he just stretches you enough, where it just makes it a little bit uncomfortable, or maybe it might be to a further degree. Whatever the Lord leads in your heart, I would say if you just obey, you watch what the Lord does. You watch what the Lord does, because, you know, I love this verse that I believe it's in Luke chapter, let me see if I've got it right, Luke chapter 8, verse 38. In that verse, let's see. Nope, that's not the verse. Maybe 10:38. Given, it shall be given to you. Press down. Which verse is that, Brother Stan? Do you know, Brother Jordan? I thought it was Luke 8:38. But if you just look in your concordance real quick in the back, just see if you find that. It's just a great verse that just says, if you'll just give, then God will bless you. God, so often, he gives you more back than you ever give out. God's always mindful of any sacrifices that you make. I've just watched him do it in my heart, in my life, and we both have seen that, my wife and I, and I don't give it for that reason. We don't want to give it for that reason. We want to give it for the right reason, but the Lord blesses, and he takes care. Did you find that verse, brother? Oh, 6:38. Okay, I had it 8:38 in my head. Luke 6:38. Thank you, Kate. All right. Oh, okay, Luke 6:38. Yes, it says this. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together. You know, it's not like cereal in a box where it says, you know, sold by volume, not by weight. It's all airy and everything. No, no, the Lord says, when I give back to you, I press it all down. I shake it all. I condense it as much as possible so that when I give you something back, you'll go, oh, my goodness, look what's been given to me. He says, I'll press it down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. It's just a great promise. It's a great promise that if you'll take that step of faith and say, I'm going to do something for the Lord. The Lord says, I noticed that, and I'll bless you. And he will. And I can say that with a full guarantee that if you just step out by faith, ask the Lord what he'd have you to do with this coming missions conference, and just see what the Lord's going to do. The Lord's good, isn't he?
Yeah.
The Lord is the greatest missionary that there ever was. He came looking for you and I when we were lost sheep that have gone astray. He found us, didn't he? And we came to know him. And now we have an opportunity to tell others. And we do that certainly on a day-to-day basis with a track or a conversation or door knocking or wherever it might be. But we also have an opportunity to support somebody who's going places that we could never go and be a blessing that way. Amen? Yeah. Let's go ahead and bow our heads at this point. And I'm going to have Brother Stan. Yes, Brother Stan's going to come up. And Laura, if you'll play on the piano. With our heads bowed. Listen, all I'm saying is that we just all need to come before the Lord and look unto him and say, Lord, would you help me? I want to walk with you. I want to entrust everything with you. And one of the most difficult things that we can entrust the Lord with is our finances. We want to have control on that. We can become, you know, control freaks. And we want to guard that with our life. But it's good to turn that over unto the Lord. And I say this to myself more than I'm saying it to anybody here. Is just give it to the Lord and let him lead and guide you. And say, what would you have me to do with this missions conference coming up in Faith Promise? Maybe I've never taken part with it before at all. I've never done anything with it before. Well, if the Lord's leading you, then I hope that you'll step into the waters, that you'll trust the Lord and let him guide you. I believe that if you do, he'll direct you to give unto him some portion. But I just say trust him with all of that. For those of you that have been a part of it, just continue to trust him. Say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Would you have me to raise that level? Would you have me to take another step forward? Would you just show me what you'd have me to do? Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for your love for every one of us. Thank you for this story about how you reached out unto this man who was, man, nobody wanted to have any part of this man's life, but you loved him, and you went and reached out to him, and this man's life was changed. And there's no doubt that that man went about his community, and we read about how he was going to tell his friends and his neighbors, and it said all men did marvel. I'll be excited to get to heaven one day and see this man and then find out maybe how many people came to Christ because of this man's life. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to have eyes of faith, to just believe that what little we can do, we can't go to a foreign field for the most part, maybe a short-term missions trip, but for the most part, maybe we can just help out financially to keep a missionary on the field and supported. And Lord, through him and his wife or whoever it may be, Lord, we know that you'll do some great works and you'll bring some people to Christ, people that may never have been reached any other way. But Lord, you have a love for souls, and we pray, Father, that you would help us as a church to take a good step of faith, to trust you with this missions conference coming. Help us to simply do what you called us to do, make that faith promise, be faithful with it, Lord, and may you use it to bring many souls to Christ. Lord, we pray you'll work in each and every heart here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.